You are, we welcome you. Wherever you've come from, whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Lily Rappaport, and I'm the Director of Religious Education. And I'm joined today by Colleen Toell, who is the Religious Education Coordinator, and Hal Walker, our Music Director.
We light this chalice because we believe that the things we cannot see, cannot point to or prove can still weave magic and miracles from the ordinary strands of our lives.
Welcome here, all be alive and of good cheer. Welcome here, all be alive and of good cheer. I've got a pie all baked complete, pudding too that's very sweet. Chestnuts are roasting, join us here while we dance and make good cheer. Welcome here, all be alive and of good cheer. Welcome here, all be alive and of good cheer. I've got a log that's burning hot, toddy's bubbling in the pot. Come in, ye people, where it's warm, the wind blows sharp and it may storm. Welcome here, all be alive and of good cheer. Welcome here, all be alive and of good cheer. I made a loaf that's cooling there, with my neighbors I will share. Come all ye people, hear me sing a song of friendly welcoming. Welcome here, all be alive and of good cheer. Welcome here, all be alive and of
If only for this season, let us banish cynicism and welcome wonder. If only for the season, let us downplay our differences and discover the bonds of common origin and continuing cause. If only for the season, let us set aside worry and smile and laugh and sing. If only for this season, let us deny apathy and indifference and truly live by loving. If only for the season, let us subvert our envy and jealousy and be both good at giving and receiving the gifts that are before us. If only for the season, this very brief season of light, of life, of love, let us be wise enough to be a little foolish about candlelight, the sound of sleigh bells, and children, and the matters of the heart, if only for the season. Come, let us worship together.
Grandma is just old, that is. That's all.
These were the words I heard from my mother's lips as she hung the garlands over the mantel and straightened out the stockings. The last of the decorations had already been hung, and the details of our Christmas gathering were almost all in place. The lights of the tree twinkled merrily. Bowls of nuts and cookies occupied every available space in our house. The illuminated snowman stood proudly on the front lawn, announcing the coming of Christmas, and a light snow fell, but inside it was warm next to the fire.
Grandma is just old, that's all.
Mother saw me watching her as she stood by the window, staring out into the darkness. It seemed to me that she was looking for something, waiting.
What is it, Grandma? What are you looking for?
She hadn't heard me. In fact, Grandma was nearly deaf. Father said that her hearing went quickly a few years ago around Christmas time when Grandpa took ill and died. It was as though she didn't want to hear the news, he said. She was almost stone deaf these days.
Dinner's ready.
I stood there watching by the window, and I could see her lips moving, and I inched a little closer to make out what she was saying, but it was singing. I could barely make it out. It was a little off key, but she was singing, and I think it was I heard the bells on Christmas Day. It was her favorite song.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day.
She used to sing that same song all the time at Christmas. Grandma had a good voice once, but some of the notes were moved around now, and it didn't really seem like she could sing any louder than she was already doing. I thought it might be because she was sad, but as I looked closer, I could see that her eyes were bright, and there was a hint of a smile on her face, and I felt very curious watching her stare out that window.
What is she looking at, or is it that she's looking for something? I can't tell.
I said, "Dinner is ready."
My mother marched into the room, and without turning around, I could tell she stopped and was watching me watch Grandma. Then she walked toward me in a softer stride. And that's when she said it again in a soft voice that was almost a whisper as she leaned in to say it.
Grandma is just old, that's all.
She tugged my arm, pulling me in the direction of the dining room, and then she straightened herself, looking out the window for the briefest second with a quizzical look on her face. And raising her voice, she looked right at Grandma and said,
"Mom, Mom, dinner's ready. Mom."
She turned around, not like she was startled or anything, but in a very slow and careful way. And then she saw me standing there, and she smiled at me. And I saw it. For the briefest second, I saw it. Her eyes, they twinkled, and the corner of her mouth turned. She said it in a clear and matter-of-fact voice.
"It's coming.
Mom, dinner's ready. Mom, come on, let's go."
Grandma then turned her gaze from me and looked up at Mother, and the smile stayed on her face.
"Yes, dear. Merry Christmas to you, too."
I'm not 100% certain, but I think I can attribute this to Albert Einstein. There are two ways to live your life. One, as though nothing is a miracle, and the other, as though everything is a miracle. Please join me in a spirit of prayer, and there'll be a short silence, but as you're listening to the silence, maybe you could appreciate the sounds that you hear and that you don't hear. I'm going to do a reading called "This To Sit in the Unknowing" by Katie Candorin Morris. O God of many names, the personal and mysterious, we have come to a quiet time, an interior place, a place for deepening of spirit, the enrichment of soul. We seek to know ourselves by knowing you. Let us have the courage to sit in the unknowing, to look for the answers, even if they are to sit with our own questions, to be willing to be authentic with ourselves, to be ready to bring our face to the world. Let us be willing to know others by welcoming their genuine features, by welcoming them into the world, by appreciating the beauty that comes from seeing wholeness and truth. Let us sit in that quiet depth together. May it be so. Amen, and blessed be.
It was later in the evening that I stood in the hallway and I watched my granddaughter looking out of the window to her bedroom. Even from that distance, I could see she was watching the wind carry tufts of snow from the roof, sending it swirling into the night sky. As the snow danced in front of the house lights, it created the illusion of figures dancing in the air, the same figures I had been watching only a few hours before. Reindeer and the faces of elves. A long sleigh with shining lights glistening, the white beard of an old man, and the outline of a snow-trimmed suit through the red lights. And perhaps, just perhaps, the hint of a long train racing through the sky as the snow rushed past, hissing and squealing in the night. A hand fell upon my shoulder from behind as I stood there. My daughter reached up and kissed me on the cheek as she saw me watching my granddaughter. Then, with her mouth close to my ear, I heard her say, in a faint, melancholy way,
"She's just a young girl, that's all."
As she continued down the hall to her room, even as I crossed the threshold of my granddaughter's room, her gaze never wavered. I sat down on her bed and looked out at the night with her, for a few moments anyway. "It's coming," I said, and she turned around and saw me sitting next to her.
"What's coming, Grandma?"
"I was your age the first time it came. I'll never forget the clatter it made, the way it circled around in the sky, or the way it landed right in front of our house. Much bigger than I ever thought it would be. A lot more magical, too. But the most interesting part, the part I will never forget, is how I knew it was coming. That was the darndest thing. It was as though I could feel it inside of me. I could hear it from miles and miles away. I'll never forget that I knew it was coming."
"Knew what was coming, Grandma? Do you mean Santa and sleigh?"
She did not answer me that question. She just stood in front of the window and smiled.
"You'd think an old woman like me would have let go of something that happened so long ago. But not only have I not forgotten, it seems like I can't lose it. Once you hear it, once you see it, once you feel it, it's as real as the first time it happens."
"You mean you saw Santa? Some of the kids at school have tried to tell me that it's not true, that he doesn't really come, but I don't believe them. I know he really comes. Sometimes when I lie in bed at night or stare out at the window like this, I can tell he's out there."
"Did you know I used to sit and look out this window with your mother, and we would look at the snow falling and laugh at the shapes we could see, and we could hear the sound of it on the wind, and we knew it was coming. But then, one year, she didn't want to sit with me by the window anymore, and she never did again. And you know what? It stopped coming. Till tonight."
"Me? You saw Santa? Right, Grandma? You mean Santa's coming tonight, right?"
But Grandma did not answer me that question. She just looked at me and smiled. And from underneath her coat, she took a small box and whispered,
"Tomorrow."
She took her index finger and put it on her nose. She winked, and we both laughed. I got into bed and dreamt that night of the Christmas that I knew in my heart was coming. I remember on Christmas Eve that year, I lay still in my bed, and from where I lay, I could just glimpse the snow falling outside the window. I did not rustle the sheets. I breathed slowly and silently, because I was listening for something. I was listening for a sound that I somehow knew that I would hear. The ringing of Santa's sleigh. Late that night, I did hear sounds, though not of ringing bells. From outside came the sounds of hissing steam and squeaking metal, and I looked through my window and I saw a train standing perfectly still in front of my house. It was wrapped in an apron of steam. Snowflakes fell lightly around it. A conductor stood with a red scarf covering her face and looked up at my window. She tipped her cap and waved for me to come down. I tiptoed down the stairs and out to the door, still in my pajamas and bathrobe.
"All aboard! Well, are you coming?"
"Where?"
"Why, to the North Pole, of course. This is the Polar Express."
"Oh, yes, of course I'm coming."
I took her outstretched hand and she pulled me aboard. The train was filled with other children, all in their pajamas and nightgowns. And with a great hiss and a loud tug of the whistle, the train lurched forward. Faster and faster we raced, past the lights of the towns and villages where which flickered in the distance. The Polar Express raced northward. Soon there were no more lights to be seen. We climbed mountains so high, it seemed as though we would scrape the moon. And the Polar Express never slowed down. Faster and faster we ran along, rolling over peaks and through valleys like a car on a roller coaster. The mountains turned into hills, the hills to snow-covered plains, and we crossed the barren desert of ice, the great polar ice cap. The lights appeared in the distance, and they looked like lights of a strange ocean liner sailing on a frozen sea.
There is the North Pole.
Whoa! The North Pole!
We are coming to the center of the city. This is where Santa will give the first gift of Christmas.
Who receives the first gift?
He will choose one of you.
Our train came to the center of the North Pole, and we slowed to a crawl. So crowded were the streets with Santa's elves that when the Polar Express could go no further, we stopped, and the conductor led us outside. We pressed through the crowd to the edge of a large open circle, and in front of us stood Santa's sleigh. It was a magical sound, like nothing I'd heard before. Across the circle, Santa Claus appeared, and he marched over to us. And he turned, and he stroked his long beard. And he looked out at the sky and the wind, making figures out of the swirling snow. And then, in an instant, he turned and pointed directly at me.
Oh, oh, oh. Yes, you. Let's have this girl right here. Now, what would you have for Christmas, my dear?
All of a sudden, I realized I could have any gift that I imagined. Any toy or game or book, maybe even a puppy. But it dawned on me then that none of those things was what I really wanted. I knew the thing I wanted most was not inside Santa's bag. What I wanted more than anything was...
Really? Here it is, the first gift of Christmas. Here.
A clock struck midnight, and I took the bell that Santa gave me from his own sleigh and put it in my bathrobe pocket. It felt so magical. And then Santa cracked his whip, and his team charged forward and climbed into the air. Snow flew in every direction and settled as the sound of sleigh bells disappeared into the night sky. As soon as we were back inside the Polar Express, the other children wanted to see the bell. I reached into my pocket, but all I felt was a hole. I couldn't believe it. It couldn't be true, but it was. I had lost the silver bell from Santa's sleigh. I wanted to go outside and look for it, but just at that moment, the train gave a sudden lurch forward, and the doors closed, and we were on our way home. The Polar Express arrived at my house, and I stepped down with my finger still sticking out of that hole in my bathrobe. It broke my heart to lose the bell, and I stood in the doorway and waved goodbye, and the conductor said something from the moving train, but I couldn't hear her. What? I said.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
And I returned half-heartedly to my home to get in from the cold. I looked back again, and for a moment I thought, for just an instant, that the conductor had done something very odd. I could swear I saw her put her finger to her nose, offer the faintest hint of a grin from underneath that red scarf, and throw a quick wink in my direction.
Christmas came. I thought I was dreaming. When I opened my eyes, I was in my bed with the sun shining through my window. The snow had stopped falling, and it was a bright, clear, frosty morning. I rubbed my eyes and wondered where I dreamt the whole thing. Trains, elves, sleigh bells, Santa. I was still in my bathrobe. I remembered all the details of my dream. It felt so real, and I was sad all over again about losing the sleigh bell Santa had given me. I laughed and started for the living room, where everyone was ready to open presents. When everyone opened all the gifts under the tree, I put my hands in my pockets and sighed again. My finger poked through the hole in my bathrobe, and I felt sad again. That's when Grandma began searching under and around the tree as though she was looking for something.
Here,
There is something else here. But where?
And then, as if from out of nowhere, a little red box appeared in her hand. Then she turned and crooked her head and looked at me just so, held the box out in front of me, the very one she had shown me the night before.
Here it is. I knew it was somewhere. Special delivery to you.
It has my name on it.
I opened it very carefully and peered inside. And for a moment, I was too startled to speak. Inside was the silver bell, the very one that had fallen through the hole in my pocket. And next to the bell, there was a note, and it read,
"Found this next to the seat on my sleigh. Ho, ho! And by the way, please fix that hole in your pocket. Signed, Mr. C. Ho, ho, ho."
I took the bell from the box and I shook it. It made the most beautiful sound I had ever heard. Grandma put a hand to her ear to follow the sound of the bell as it traveled through the room. And then she laughed and came over and sat by me. From under her coat, I saw her pull out a bell of her own. It was exactly the same as mine, a little older and a bit tarnished, but a sleigh bell just the same.
I got this bell so many years ago, I was beginning to think I had dreamt the whole thing. But I wasn't dreaming. It was real. It is real.
It rings in perfect harmony with mine. Together, some just like Santa's sleigh has flown into the room. What a sound. What a wonderful, magical, glorious sound.
That's too bad. They must really be broken. They don't make them like they used to. You two might be the only one in the world who has silent sleigh bells.
And it dawned on me then that my parents had not been able to hear the sound of the bells. They couldn't hear them at all. And I looked at Grandma, who was still ringing her bell and laughing out loud. How is it that someone nearly deaf could hear the bells and could feel Christmas? And my healthy, rational parents could miss the whole thing entirely. Something happens, I figured, if you grow up too fast. We're in such a hurry to listen to our senses that we forget to listen to our hearts. And for that, that is where the bells ring, the bells of all who truly believe. And I scratched my head, and I leaned over to my grandma and said,
"There it is, parents, that's all."
And Grandma turned to me and put a finger on her nose and winked and began humming her song.
I don't know about you, but I still have wonderful memories of holidays. And I'm sure if you think back in the distant past, and in the not so distant past for some of you, you have some wonderful holiday Christmas memories. Perhaps if you think back, you could see the most marvelous memories that are going to be made coming forward too. Perhaps this serene beauty of a fresh blanket of snow, or Christmas lights twinkling in the dark sky. Perhaps you could still smell the tree filling the house with that rich pine-scented aroma, or a fire crackling in the fireplace, and stockings hung up on the mantle, Christmas carols in the background, laughter and excitement, the anticipation of Santa Claus coming to deliver hopes and dreams. Believing in Santa Claus helps keep the spirit of Christmas alive. And to some, Santa is everywhere and lives in everyone's through hopes, happiness, joy, and love. The true spirit of Christmas is believing in the magic and in the love and in the spirit and of giving others, because it teaches us to believe in something that we can't see, something that we can't touch. The true spirit of Christmas can fill more hearts with the same love, joy, hope, and magic that you feel on Christmas. Christmas is the season of magic and miracles, and regardless of your age, you may never forget the magic of Christmas. And perhaps this Christmas, if you listen real carefully, you might hear the magic jingle of sleigh bells, the ringing of the most beautiful melodic sound that you've ever heard.
At one time, most of my friends could hear the bell, but as years passed, it felt silent for all of them. Sometimes, even the most faithful awake one Christmas, unable to hear its sweet sound. Though I've grown old now, with children of my own, the bell still rings for me, as it does for all who truly believe. Go in peace, go making peace. Amen. Blessed be.